What is good? It's the one and only DJ K Cash in the building with my boy DJ Drastic the Untouchable. We into another episode of Digging in the Crates. We got some special guests in the building and via telephone today. Brooklyn's in the house as always. You with your one and only DJ K Cash, DJ Drastic, MEC Radio, Digging in the Crates. Drastic, what's good, baby?
What's going on, my brother? Everything good, maintaining, you know what I mean? Stress to a minimum. Those that bringing around me out my life. Keeping it 100, you feel me?
That's what's up. Who we got in the building today, Drastic, baby? Who we got here?
One time we got Original.
Original.
Brooklyn OG, Master Ace.
Yeah, I'm here.
One time, Master Ace in the building, you know what I'm saying? All the new school hip-hop heads, pay attention real quick, because we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. And on the telephone, we got the Boston representative, Ed OG. What's going on, Ed OG?
Chilling, man, chilling. I'm here.
For sure, for
sure. Bean Town's in the house.
For sure, one time, you know what I mean? Shout out to everybody in Boston. But you know, we repping Brooklyn, though. We out here in Brooklyn right now, so, you know.
It's all good, it's all good. I like Brooklyn.
For sure, for sure. So tell me what's going on, Ed OG. Tell me something, man. What's going on with you?
You know, just the new album, man, came out November 4th. So, you know, we just out promoting that, man. We about to get on the road. Me and Ace get on tour and go do this European run and, you know, come back and, you know, do the States, do Canada. So we're going to be everywhere. And we actually got an album release party in Brooklyn, December 22nd.
There
so
it is.
Gotta make sure y'all come out to that, man. It's gonna be crazy.
Word is born. Where's that at in Brooklyn? Where's that gonna be?
Ace.
It's at Southport.
Okay.
We know shout out Southport. You know, that's the original hip hop spot in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Southport, get it in. So Ace, man, Ace, let me ask you, how you and Ed OG connect? Like, how y'all get together and work on a project, etc.
Me and Ed O knew each other for a while now, like through the industry or whatever. But I would say somewhere around 2003 or so, 2004, I was working on my album Long Hot Summer, and Edo was working on his album Own Worst Enemy, and we actually featured on each other's records. Before that, we had actually featured on a few other people's records. Like we wound up being on like three or four of the same records from different people around the world, actually. And we featured on each other's albums. Then we went on tour together in 04 when I went out on the road for a Long Hot Summer album. And that's how we got to, you know each other. When you're on the road together, you get to know each other even more. You have to, you're forced to.
For sure.
And when we got back from that tour, we featured on a couple of more records. And then, you know, Edo had the idea of, yo, we should do a mixtape. You know, he's like, let's take all the records that we featured on from all these different people and the joints that we did on each other's albums, and let's put that together as a mixtape, maybe add a couple of freestyles, a couple of extra songs. That's how the idea originally started. And then I would say maybe 6 months or so in, like, because I was working on EMC project at the time. I was busy working on that. Edo was working on his group, Special Teams. And so I probably about 6 months after that, he came to the table with a guy named DJ Supreme One from Boston, who had funding and wanted to actually fund a complete album with me and Edo G. So it wasn't going to be a mixtape anymore with just freestyles and old records. It was going to be a complete album. And that's what got the ball rolling, was the funding from Supreme One.
There it is. So, Ed OG, let me ask you a question, my brother. What do you feel about the state of hip-hop right now and coming from the direction like MCs like you and Ace, what do you feel about the overall state of hip-hop and how it is, you know, let's say culture versus business?
I think we're in a good place right now, you know, with the advent of the internet. You know, it just gives a lot more opportunity for, you know, cats of our stature who, you know, aren't on majors anymore. And, you know, we could still reach the masses, you know what I mean? Before, you know, without the internet, there wasn't, you know, it was either a major or die.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There really wasn't no in between. So now, you know, I think hip-hop is in a good place. I mean, I think commercially it's in a whack place just because, you know, there's pretty much only one kind of hip-hop dominating the landscape.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's pretty whack. But, you know, overall, I think where we're at culturally, I think, you know, hip-hop has brought so many different cultures together, man. You know, I got friends of all ethnicities because of hip-hop.
Right.
So, you know, culturally, I think we're really in a good place, you know, because, you know, we rock with everybody now. Mm-hmm. Everybody rocks with everybody. There's not no, you know, particular group that I'm hanging out with. You know, I hang with pretty much everyone across the board. So I think, like I said, culturally, we're in a great place. Commercially, as far as hip-hop goes, is whack.
Mm-hmm. Ace, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with everything I said. It would be nice if the radio and the video shows would show a little bit more variety, because there's so many different brands of hip hop, so many different categories of hip hop, mm-hmm. so many different genres that don't get those spins and that shine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like pretty much like if you're not on the down south vibe with a bunch of girls dressed real crazy mm-hmm. and some cars and some jewelry and talking about money, you know, that's the only music that really gets played and gets spun. So
right.
If we can get it back to the days where it was a little bit more balanced, I think we'll be all right, you know, because there's other good music out there. And the goal is to, you know, get hip-hop back to where it's a little bit more balanced as far as commercially.
Okay. Do you feel, Ace, do you feel that the internet, going back to that, has hurt or helped hip-hop as a culture over the years?
The internet has helped tremendously because there's people in corners of the earth that I never thought I would even visit that actually know our records, know the words to records, which surprised me. I didn't know that, you know, people in Croatia knew the words to my songs.
Shout to all the people in Croatia, Zagreb.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know people in Poland knew who I was. I didn't know, you know, that people in Bosnia knew who I was. So it's because of the internet and because of the fact that they have access to the same websites and the same, you know, media that we do in the States, that it's kind of made it a global movement.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you this, Ed OG, do you feel that with the state of the business once again and the way that the music is nowadays, do you feel that the image has outweighed the actual music? Because I consider you guys both hip-hop connoisseurs, if you will. So at the end of the day, do you feel that the image has outweighed the music as a whole?
Yeah, definitely, you know, and in a lot of instances it has, you know, with 50 Cent, and, you know, I love 50, don't get me wrong, so, but, you know, with the being shot and all of that, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's where kind of the label started clinging to an image and a story, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, I mean, 50's from the era, so he know, you know, real hip hop and real mm-hmm. music. But, you know, yeah, I think a lot of these, you know, newer cats that are coming out, you know, it's all about image. It's all about, you know, how many, I mean, you know, Gucci Man, every time I see him, he got a different chain on, a bigger one, and, you know, it's like, it's just crazy right now, right. You know what I'm saying? So, and shout out to Gucci, there ain't no disrespect, you know, to anyone, man, but, you know, I just think, you know, these labels, it's really the corporations, man. I can't fault any artist for getting rich.
Yeah, because
out of poverty. I can't fault them, you know what I'm saying? You got to do what you got to do. You got to take your opportunity when it's presented to you. Mm. So, you know, no fault, you know, to the artist. It's more fault on a corporation for promoting that to our kids. Mm. And that's all our kids get to see.
I have a quick mention on that, too, is that I know a lot of times, I don't know if the artists know, is that me being a former label, used to work at the label, and the promotion department, a lot of the times the money is coming from corporations. That's the reason why the music game is being stifled. Mm. Instead of putting up money for the artist to kind of do your promotions, go on your promotion runs, and take care of your business, a lot of that money is being filtered into the vice presidents of the record companies who have escalating salaries, and the people that's running around doing the real work aren't getting paid as well. Mm. And then what they're trying to do is do cross-marketing. Right. Cross-marketing is what's killing this game.
Right. Let me ask you this, Ace. Not to call anyone out in particular, where do you feel the transition was in hip-hop? Where do you feel that was the point where it went downhill?
It's been a couple of points, but I think the Bad Boy era was a big one because, you know, and they put some good music out in that era, but that made hip-hop become more of R&B. It became more R&B than anything
hip-hop,
else.
Hip-hop, hip-hop.
Yeah, it became hip-hop slash R&B.
Right, right.
And you know, when Puff was killing them with all the disco records, mm-hmm. and the Trackmasters was involved in that too, mm-hmm. where everybody was just trying to go get that big soul kind of disco record and flip it and rhyme over that and get somebody to sing the hook.
Wow.
That era sent us like spiraling into, oh, you gotta have a hook. Mm-hmm. You gotta have, you know, somebody singing on your joint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pre-Bad Boy, you know, Wu-Tang, Mobb Deep was on the radio, you know, regular rotation with no hook, just hard banging beats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that was definitely a big turning point, you know, the glossier kind of hip hop. I definitely think the $1 million videos that he was behind, all of that stuff changed the game, and it took it to a place where not everybody could compete with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody didn't have $1 million that they could put into to a video budget. But the videos they was putting out looked so crazy that everybody was trying to compete with that and do music like that. I mean,
I
was signed to Atlantic Records at the time, and I had incredible pressure to make records that competed with the Bad Boy era.
Right.
And it had artists like myself, you know, struggling to do what we wanted to do musically because the A&Rs was all saying, yo, you gotta, he gonna throw in the Benjamins. That's funny.
Right.
but you know, that's what it was though. I mean, the Bad Boy era, there was good music in there. Let's be fair.
Right.
Good music in there, but it changed the game a lot.
Right. I can definitely understand where you're coming from as far as that. Who do you feel, Ace, who do you feel nowadays is breathing life back into the actual hip hop culture? Because a lot of the artists these days, where, and I don't like to seem condescending towards any artists, but you know, you have these guys that are signing to majors, and we're obviously in a state nowadays where it's a singles game. And mm-hmm. and you know, it's ringtones and how much money can be made within the shortest amount of time. So with that being said, who do you feel is preserving, with the exception of the veterans,
mm-hmm.
the new school, who do you feel is preserving the actual hip hop culture, the pure sound?
There's a group that I got put onto them about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and I just recently got their mixtape. I was listening to it yesterday and today,
mm-hmm.
out of the West Coast. Funny enough, this cat's called Pac Div.
Okay,
and it's three MCs. I mean, they kind of put you in the mind of maybe like Far Side, but they don't rock. They're not, you know, as abstract as them. They kind of make, you know, regular just kind of street music, but it's like good ass music, and they spitting. And they from Cali, and you don't listen to them and go, oh, that's just some old West Coast ish. Like, like they spitting, and it just sound like good hip hop.
Right.
You know, so I definitely would credit them as one of the groups. I'm sure Edo has some other people that he can mention.
Right. Ed, what do you think about that? Who do you feel is breathing life into the actual essence of hip hop as we may know it from maybe a decade ago, 10 years ago? Who do you feel is preserving that from the new school in this day and age?
I think my man Terminology.
Okay.
He from, and not to be biased because he's from here, but it, you know, everything he put out, all the joints he did with Preem and everything he's been doing with Static Selector, who's another cat from Boston.
Yeah, shout out to Static Selector.
You know, I think they've been doing it good, man, as a, you know, younger generation of hip-hop. They've been really getting it in, so you know, I think those guys really do it, and definitely you gotta, you know, credit Drake. Ace hit me to Drake, and
you like the Drake,
later,
huh?
He was like all over the radio. I had never heard of him last March, and you know, I think he's one of the cats who's spitting. You know, I like listening to what he's saying because you know, when he spits. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely a fan of his, man. As far as, you know, new school guy. He's commercial, you know, but he's talented. He comes from an MC background, as far as I can see.
Mm. Let me ask you this, Ace, what do you think it is for new generation MCs, you know, guys that are 17, 18, 19 years old that have dreamt of rapping their entire lives? What do you feel that they need? And you could also classify this as a form of advice, but what do you feel that they need now more than they would have maybe from when you first got into the game many years ago?
What they're missing is that raw element of getting brought up in hip hop in its raw form. Mm. Like, they're stepping into the game where ringtones is, are already like, the, you know, that's a, you can just get paid off of ringtones.
Right.
And what they needed, was to be able to be in the Latin Quarters, you know, right. dance club. They needed to be in the Union Square mm-hmm. where, you know what I'm saying, it was just the grimiest, roughest right. of the rough. And if you wasn't built right, you couldn't be in mm-hmm. there.
And I think Ace, yeah. I don't mean to interject a minute, but coming from being out in the club scene, a lot of the times, the real hip-hop clubs, they have them on some high-end, high-C Diddy
That's
situation.
A That's a problem.
And the clubs, like the underground clubs like Latin Quarters and certain clubs like that don't exist no more, the Tunnel. Mm. There's no club like that, the Outlet,
yeah.
where it's like where people that represent these neighborhoods where these rappers are from, where you actually get a chance to see them and how they own people from their own communities feel them and make sure that they touch the right bases in their community before they just got skyrocketed and promoted to this number one status.
Yeah.
Like, there's no development going on. And even when the tastemakers are making it into a certain thing where you got the people at the radio station that pick the program and go to these parties where real music isn't getting played at. Mm. Only commercial stuff is getting played at. And it's like, and the commercial stuff is making... is having infringing on all the mediums that promote all the music. It's definitely. Being oversaturated. Mm,
definitely.
Let me ask you this, Ace. When you first got into the game, when you first got into hip-hop, you know, a lot of people, not to say you in particular, but the new generation, for instance, they look at things they see on BET and MTV and these music videos, and they look towards rap as a way to get famous, and they're actually going towards hip-hop for the fame versus the actual culture, or it's something coming from the actual gut. How do you feel not only about the actual situation as a whole, but how do you feel these new artists should and could change how they depict the overall image to the new generation, and especially the youth, for instance?
I really think that has to come from the experience of coming up in the grind. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too easy now to be 18, to have the right look, wear the right clothes, and get a major behind you, come up with a corny hook, and just, you know, be platinum. It just happens too overnight, and these guys haven't really been in the I'm happy when I see like cats coming up in the battle circuit. Because like you got like things like the Grind Time, and my man Pumpkinhead runs out in the East Coast. They have an East Coast Grind Time and a West Coast Grind Time, and these dudes is hungry, man. Like they in the guts. Like they in there just going at it, like battling, saying the crazy lyrics, and you know, losing and winning and everything like that. But that's where character is built, and that's where you find yourself at. Of course, you now have to translate that into learning how to make a record. But to see cats come up in that mix, we need more of that. Like like a lot of these young cats that got these hit records, they haven't seen no parts to that. They haven't touched that, and they haven't experienced right. that. If you threw Soldier Boy in Grind Time, it was like, yo, you gotta, you know, go against somebody. Like that dude would like be like, ah, I'm out of here. Like he would, you know, that's what I believe. I could be dead ass wrong. I mean, I thought Hurricane Kane Chris was one of those dudes, and then I seen him go in on a freestyle, and I was like, yo, that dude is ill. I can't even front on him. He off the head, he was killing it.
Right.
So you never know. You can't judge a book, but, you know, I just know a lot of these young cats, they just got lucky. They did something in their basement, and they said some little corny little hook, and then boom, blew up.
Let me ask you this. Ed OG,
yeah.
To piggyback off of what Ace just said, do you feel that it's the artists that are irresponsible, or these major labels that are irresponsible?
I think it's more on the labels, because the artists are only, you know, not tomorrow. The artists are only, you know, going by what the labels are saying. Okay, this is what we're looking for.
Mm.
So the artists are only trying to be in that mold of what they're looking for. But you know, then you have to hold some artists responsible, because I think when you get to a certain level as an artist, I think you don't have to keep doing, you know, the corniness and doing that. You know, I would love to see like Jay or Nas at the level that they're at. Jay just came back. Everybody thought he couldn't do it. He did it again. You know, now if he comes out with another record, I'd love to see him just go to premiere for, you know, half the album and go to, you know, Pete for the other half or go to, you know, Dre and Knotts and, you know, High Tech. Like, at this particular point in your career, it can't be about money. Right. It can't be about anything. So why don't you just do it for the people who really want that? Mm. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, certain artists at that level can be doing more. You know what I mean? They don't have to keep doing the same kind of music. That don't get me wrong, I like, you know, Jay's new album. I'm a fan and all that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But I would just love to see him or Nas or somebody of that caliber just go to Preem. You know what I'm saying? And get them bangers that the people want to hear. Mm.
So Ace, tell us about the album you and Ed OG got coming out.
Yeah, it's out. It came out. It came out on the 4th of November.
Pick it up.
Yep, definitely get that, yo. It's good music. It's called Austin Entertainment. Me and Edo spent about a little over 2 years working on it, you know, between our schedules, getting together in the studio and getting it done. We got Lodge Professor, you know, featured on there, KRS-One, Positive News from De La Soul, Marsha Ambrosius from Flowetry, Do It All from Laws of the Underground. And, you know, everybody contributed well. A new group called The Bundys that y'all going to be hearing a lot about, a pop group that's real dope, and another group called Chester French that's actually signed to Star Trek, which is Pharrell's label, through Interscope. So we got some good people on the record. Everybody contributed, you know, mightily to the project sound and the way it sounds, and we were happy with the way it came out.
Now, where could the people pick that up?
Go ahead, Ed.
You could get it on iTunes. You could get it pretty much anywhere, man. It's in stores everywhere, so, you know, it's available.
If it's not there, go request it from your local Target or your local Best Buy so these big chains start holding these CDs. Because what I feel from a record label standpoint, the distribution of the certain artist CDs is way crazy, and that'd be the cause of certain artists not selling the way they supposed to sell, seeing that when you go on the road with you guys, seeing you guys rocking out crowds of excess of 5,000, 10,000. There should be no reason that it shouldn't coordinate where you guys perform at for where the CDs are at.
Yeah,
even to the point is even to the point where they should allow you guys to set up shop with your mixtapes and stuff at your performances.
Oh, we do that.
Oh, yeah, I do that. Oh, make sure, because I know nowadays the record labels, they trying to get these artists in these 360 deals. And
nah, we're not signed to a major. We're signed to our own thing. You know what I mean? Like, M3 is a label that me and my man Filthy Rich created back in 2001. And, you know, we have a distributor. And they do their best. You know, they're not a big distributor, so they can't print up the amount of, you know, CDs that I think they should print up. But, you know, they do within their means what they can do. So it's probably not going to be in every single store. But for the people listening to this recording right here, it's in stores in New York City for sure.
For sure. And go out and get that.
Go get it.
Where could they find y'all online?
Yo, the website is aetheduo.com.
Y'all heard
that's
that.
That's the letter A, the letter E, theduo.com.
Y'all got MySpace's Ace, Edo G?
Yeah, it's Edo Boston, Gmail, Facebook, Edo G Boston, Twitter. It's Edo G ST, Edo G Special Teams on Facebook. So, yeah.
There it is. There it is. I definitely want to thank both of y'all. Edo G, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming online for real. Y'all live in Mega Evers College.
Yes.
Radio, we going to get this chopped up. Y'all got to get me that album, clean version.
Yeah.
And what I like to do with these interviews is we're going to start doing a mashup with about a 30-minute set of different cuts on the album, and we mix it in with the interview. So the same time when everybody's listening to the artist, they get a chance to hear your music in between.
All right. I'm going to email the clean album to Drastic.
Bird up.
All right, man. Thanks again for coming through to Mega Evers College, CUNY's finest in the building.
Word up. Ed OG.
Yes, sir.
Respect, my
respect.
Brother.
Respect. Any last minute shout outs or anything like that you want to give out before you go, Ed?
Hey, any shout outs you want to give out there, Ed OG, before you check out?
You know, shout out to everybody in New York, everybody in Brooklyn, man. Everybody
for sure.
Coming in.
Shouts to Boston.
Pick up the real hip hop. And, you know, That's what it is, man. We're going to be at Red Alert's party tomorrow.
The Shadow.
We're performing over there at Shadow.
Crazy.
For the great, legendary, cool DJ Red Alert for his birthday. So
shout
check us
Red
out
Alert.
There also. Like I said, the album party going to be 22nd. in Brooklyn, and the 23rd we're gonna be at BB King's with Funk Flex Legends show. So, you know, we'll be out there
for sure. There it is. And we'll make sure to Twitter all that out, get that out there popping like that, for sure. Good looking for calling in at OG Ace. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Y'all know what it is. WMEC, Kato Cash, DJ K Cash, the untouchable DJ Drastic, Coalition Bump Squad, the Grind King. Gets it in, doing a whole lot of things.